Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could worship you today and we could gather here. We thank you for the attendance we have this morning. It's got to be near a record for us. I pray that you'd help us to have a good discussion of your word this morning and learn what you want us to learn. Thank you for all those who are working on school right now. I pray that you give them your blessing with their studies, with remembering things for psychology and for the different classes. I pray that you'd help them with the tests and deliverables, as we call them at work, that they have this week, papers and assignments and things. Lord, we pray for those that are working, that they would get, as needed, more hours or less hours, that they would be able to get a new job to replace the seasonal one as needed. Lord, I pray that you just help them to be a witness in their workplace. I thank you for one who's willing to take a stand and not work Sundays, but I pray that you'd help her there as well to continue to be a witness as it goes further than that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I got the privilege of going soul winning on yesterday morning. That was Saturday, right? And Joe's kind of funny. We were out. It was Pastor White and Joe and I and Jeremiah. And it seems like there was a couple of ladies on the other side of the street. They had paired us up differently, but it ended up that Joe and I ended up walking up to a couple of houses together. We talked to a man named Frank, who was absolutely sure that he was saved and going to heaven because he had faith. What do you have faith in? Well, God and stuff. That's good, I guess. It's not really what the Bible says. He didn't have any details, and every time we asked him when did he get saved, or does he remember the time when he got saved, or that kind of thing. Well, it was right after I got out of prison. Right around that time of my life. So he's just a little confused, and we tried to start to talk to him about Jesus, and he's like, well, of course you're talking about Jesus. He's the point of it all. He's the whole thing. That's what the Bible's about. Yes? But is that who you have your faith in? Well, yeah. So he was just very, I don't know. So we need to pray for Frank. Then we had a really interesting talk with the next door we walked, knocked on. And I really think he'll come someday, so I won't give you his name because I don't want to talk about anyone behind their back in any way. But I'll give you some vague parts of his story. He was a refugee from Sudan in 1991, and he's Muslim, and he's black, obviously, from Sudan. And the way it works is there's different tribes or sects, if you will, S-E-C-T-S, of Muslims. There's Sunni Muslims and there's Shiite Muslims, and you know, there's probably others. Those are the ones you hear the most about. So it was the Muslims in Sudan running out for fear of death. The other Muslims in Sudan who weren't like them. But even from his own group of people, his own core, like, church people, he couldn't get help. He had to leave for fear of his life. The Muslims wouldn't help him. You know who helped him and paid for him to get out of the Middle East? The Jews. Not the Christians yet. The Jews. You know, you know, we've got one over here on Dodge, the Jewish Community Center, and the different groups of people who worship in the religion called Judaism. They were willing to help this Muslim get out of the Middle East to save his life, and they spent money doing it. That's how he got out of the Middle East. You know who took care of him when he got to the United States? The Christians. They met him at the airport, they gave him shelter, they helped him get a job, they helped him go to school, learn better English. The Christians took care of him. So do you know what his big hang-up with religion is? He believes there's a God. And he knows that everybody, in his mind, everybody has their own way of worshiping God. So the Jews, they worship the God of the Old Testament, but they still haven't found their Messiah. He told us that. He knew that much about the Jewish religion. And the Muslims, of course, he was a Muslim, so he knows they worship Allah and the Prophet. And he knows that we Christians worship God and Jesus. And he knows who Jesus is because he's a great prophet in the Muslim religion. So it was very interesting to talk to him. And his big hang-up was, in the Middle East, if you walk into a shop and you're different than the people in the shop in any way, it's not, good morning, how can I help you? There's no nice. There's, what do you want? Okay, get out of here. We don't do that here. Just very curt, mean, because you're different. But if you walk in and you're the same race and color and the same exact religion, the same sect of the same religion and that kind of thing, he says, then they'll be real nice to you and they'll go out of their way and they'll take care of you. He says, it's not like that over here with you people. He says, you guys are nice to everybody. He says, in fact, if you weren't, you wouldn't be here trying to help and share your faith with someone who's not like you. You wouldn't have anything to do with us, he says. He said, one of the big things over there is people of different races don't, I don't want to say intermingle, I'm trying to think of the phrasing he used. They don't really, yeah, they don't associate with each other. So I'm standing at his front door, and I'm about as pale white as you can be, right?
I'm sorry to take
it. It's okay.
The person who's supposed to do it wasn't in charge today.
I was supposed to do it, but I'm sorry.
No, you're not on the list.
I looked at the schedule and her name was
it. Oh. Technically, told me that I didn't actually do it.
Well, maybe later, but not this hour.
Oh, no.
That's fine.
So I'm about as pale white as I can get. You know, I've got a sunburn from just working in the yard for a couple hours on Friday. I mean, it's bad, right? But I'm standing next to Joe, and he's about as dark as they get. And this guy says, yeah, they don't associate with each other over there. He says, but you guys aren't like that. You Christians must not be like that, he says. He says, I know that because, right, here you are. And you're talking to me. And so I've never been in a situation where I was trying to witness where just because of someone's past experiences, they were inclined to listen to what we had to say. Just because of where they're from, they wanted to hear what we had to say. I won't say that he agreed with us completely. I won't say that he was this close to getting saved or any of those things. But I will say that his heart was very open to it and to what we had to say because, are you ready for this? Any of you who've been here the last month and a half know what I'm about to say. Because someone showed him love in the past. And it wasn't about beating him over the head with what they believed. I'm sure they tried to share with him what they believed. That's where he got some of this information. But it was about helping him and showing God's love to him. So it works. And it was really neat for me to be in a situation, because I've read about the refugees from Sudan. I've never met one. But it was really neat for me to be in a situation where we've been talking about, it's great if we know what we believe, and it's great if we say this, that, or the other thing about our beliefs, and it's great if we say we want to help people, or we give a little money at church or whatever, but when you have an actual impact for God, it's when you're showing love to others. And someone did that for him. Several groups of people did that for him. But very conspicuously to him, the people of his own religious belief system were not willing to help him. And I found that very interesting too. Yes?
Is this man still a Muslim or like practicing or not?
I don't think he's practicing. He says, I'm a Muslim. He says, but I'm not a very he didn't say devout. I think he said, I'm not a very good Muslim. He says, and I know what you guys believe. And then he started telling us the different things that happened to him in his life. And I don't want to say he's all bitter. I'm not saying that. But you could tell there was this, my own church wouldn't help me when it was life or death. They wouldn't help me. But other people who I didn't know, who I've never met, who my religion preaches is wrong and we should kill them, those people, they helped me. It was incredible. Are we frozen up here, Steve? Oh, no, it's working.
He was just looking up.
Okay. It just looked like you were frozen. So I wanted to give you that as an example of what we've been talking about as an opportunity to pray for this person. If you pray for the man that Joe and Sam got to witness to, God knows who that is, even if I don't want to give out a whole bunch of names for this man's own sake. I also wouldn't want him to walk in the door and have someone go up to him and say, you're the guy! Right? Not be a great experience for him.
I know Brittany was going to do that, so I'm glad you
didn't. Yeah. So, I'd be really happy. You want to be that guy? Yeah, well.
He's also really nice and he was giving them water.
Yeah, we came to his door and he was talking to us and we thought he was blowing us off. He's like, just a minute. Wait here. And he goes back in the house. And I'm like, okay, what's he coming out that door with? Cold bottles of water out of the fridge, because he could see that we were standing out there sweating. So that was really nice. You know, we didn't think to bring our own water, but he was taking care of us.
I can honestly say when people come knock on my door, like Jehovah's Witness and all that, I'm just like, get out of here. I don't ever think about giving them water.
But this man's experience was such that he was open. He was open to it. He was willing to talk about it. I did find it interesting that I never saw her, but I did hear her answer the phone and talk, so I know that he has a wife, a girlfriend, a sister, a mom, someone in the house, I don't know who. But I found it very interesting that he came out, he closed the door behind him, and he closed the screen door behind him, and then he talked to us for a long time. And at some point, she opened that screen door, and he still talked to us for a long time. So I don't know if he was like, yeah, if she comes out here, she'll want me to cut this short, or I don't know, but we could definitely pray for whoever it was in the house, too, because don't know that they're saved. But let's look at some verses this morning to add on top of this and apply to it. If you guys have been here for long, you know that I really like Colossians. I like all of the books written by Paul, but I really like Colossians. So in Colossians 3, we'll focus on the beginning of the chapter instead of the end of the chapter, like we usually do. I've worn out these pages of my Bible. Alright, Colossians 3. In verse 1 it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And then it goes on and talks about mortify therefore your members upon the earth against all of these sins that it lists, and it goes on and on. But let's stick to those first four verses. And it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So one of the things we got to do, Joe and I, when we were talking to this man, was we got to do a kind of a compare and contrast thing, right? And you could see the guy was a little bit interested in this. And we said, you know, the Jews, they have so much of it right. But this Messiah that they're looking for, he came, and it was Jesus. And they just don't accept it. They're still looking for it. But he was there. He walked around among them. He preached to them. He witnessed to them. He fulfilled all the prophecies. That's how we know it was Jesus. It's not just because some guy showed up and said, yep, that one you've been looking for, that's me. What did you say? Oh, yeah, yeah, I did that. Yep, yep, yeah, yeah, I'm from that family. No, it wasn't that at all. He didn't just show up and say it was him. It was all prophesied. Where he'd be born, what lineage he would be born into, the things he would do, the things that would happen to him. No one who's purporting or trying to live out a hoax would put themselves through the crucifixion to try to say, I'm the guy they wrote that about. Right? I mean, if you wanted to con someone, you wouldn't go get yourself crucified to prove you were a person, would you? Kind of ruin the ending, because usually if you're conning someone, it's to gain something or something for yourself. It wasn't that this guy Jesus showed up and decided to be that at all. And if you were conning someone and it started to fall out that you were going to get crucified because you did too good of a job making everyone believe this con, wouldn't you start being like, no, it's not really me, I just made that up.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you try to get out of it at that point. Jesus was the real deal. He fulfilled.
At the trial, he had the opportunity.
And he didn't say a word. He didn't argue against it. He didn't beg for his life. He didn't anything. He was willing. He fulfilled all the prophecies that the Jews are waiting for someone to fulfill.
It says very early in the morning.
Then he was this prophet in the Muslim religion. But for us, he's everything. There is no Christianity without Christ. Not just because it's the first part of the word, Christianity, but because we're following him, because he's the whole thing. He came, he was perfect, he paid for our sins. One of the things that this guy kept talking about was all the different religions are a way to heaven, because everybody knows right from wrong. And everybody knows that religion tells you to do good things. And so when Joe and I got to talk to him, there was a couple of things we were able to say that we think made an impact. We talked to him about the difference between the Muslim religion and the Christian religion is the Muslims. We asked him, as a Muslim, how do you know you're going to get to heaven? He says, well, you can't know. Okay, well, what do you do to get to heaven? Well, you do good things. Well, how much good things do you do? Well, more good things than bad? And you could see he was asking us. He's like, do you have to do more good than bad to get to heaven? Well, if you just do some good thing, you could see he was poking around to try to see where does it fit. It was clear that there was no actual guideline of, if you're a Muslim and you do these things, you get to heaven. He says, well, there's kind of a hope. We're like, well, we believe that Jesus died and paid for our sins. And if we believe that he did that and he will save us, and we believe we need him to save us, then all we have to do is literally have faith in him that he'll save us. And that's it. We go to heaven. He's like, yeah, but see, only good people can do that. No, that's not true. He says, well, that only forgives some things. Like if you're a murderer, you can't do that. No, no. The Bible says there is not. The only unforgivable sin is to say that Jesus had an unclean spirit. And if you say that, you're not believing in Jesus, so you're not saved, and you're not going to go to heaven. He's kind of like, yeah. I mean, I know that being a Christian requires some faith, but there's some logic involved, right? The Bible says, we got to quote from Acts 1:8, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's all you got to do is believe. So, the Christian religion doesn't just offer hope, it offers this promise that you are saved and you are going to heaven. Well, if we all have that promise, what are we doing to share it with other people? That was the first time, I think, in, 2 months, I've made it to soul winning. I've done a couple visits. I definitely pray for them when they go soul winning and these different things, but what are we doing to share it? How are we showing love? I certainly haven't sponsored any Sudanese refugees getting out of the Middle East lately, or ever. What are we doing to show them? I haven't picked any of them up at the airport and offered them shelter. Partially because I think that wouldn't be the right thing to do with small children in my house. Put them at risk. But I definitely haven't showed anyone love the way this man was showed love. The other thing that's different about our religion, and I told him, I said, look, if I had to line them up and compare them and pick one.
I wouldn't even call it a religion.
Right.
That's a big
right. But that was his term for it.
Right.
I said, if I had to pick between all these things we've discussed, the reason I would pick the one that I'm in now is because you have a prophet who said and did good things, but then he died. He's like, yeah, he's dead, he's gone. I said, And the Jews are still looking for someone to worship. However, we have a living Savior. He died to pay for our sins, but he came back. And after he came back, he did deeds recorded by history. He was seen by many people for many days after he rose from the dead. And then it's recorded that he ascended into heaven. We serve a living Savior who, just like this said, I don't know why I said this, when I said it, I said, who's sitting on the right hand of God in heaven. So not only are we going to heaven, we're going to heaven to see the Savior. What I didn't get to explain to him, because he kept interjecting, is I wanted to ask him to compare that to the Muslims. Do they believe that even Muhammad is in heaven? Since they have no criteria by which you get to heaven, how can they say for sure when they get to heaven they're going to see the Prophet Muhammad that they've been worshiping all this time? How do they know that the good stuff he did outweighed the bad? I didn't get to ask him that. But that definitely ran through my head. You know when you're talking to someone and you're kind of going back and forth, and some of the time you're talking, you're thinking about what you're going to say next? Well, he talked a lot. Because he felt very strongly. Even though he didn't know for sure anything, he felt very strongly about lots of parts of it, so he kept trying to explain it to us. Which was good. I think, unless he eventually gets saved from something we said, I think probably I benefited more from talking to him than he benefited from talking to me. God works that way. You go try to help someone else and it ends up blessing you more. God does that all the time. If it hasn't happened to you recently, it's because you haven't been trying to help people enough. But God does it that way all the time. But if you look back at Colossians, it says, set your affections in verse 2 on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Once you're saved, you should be dead to all these worldly things. The Jamba Juice guy that we were talking about earlier that drives the Corvette, who likes to joke that he had to sell a whole bunch of smoothies to get this car. None of that matters. Right? It's set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. You could tell by talking to this gentleman, he had spent a lot of time thinking about heaven. He didn't talk much about how. But he spent a lot of time talking about heaven. He actually told us if you were Muslim and you did some good and some bad, you might have to go to hell first and then get prayed out or moved up. Which I'd never heard that about Muslims before. But, you know, he definitely, I have to say, he knew more about my religion than I knew about his. Which, I'm okay with that, because that made him easy to witness to. It wasn't hard. I didn't have to tell him who Jesus was. I didn't have to tell him Jesus died on the cross.
And that's fine. You don't have to understand every religion. You only have to understand the Bible, because it's like that example. The people who look for counterfeit money, they don't study all the different counterfeit money because there's too much of it. They only study the real money. sort of that they know when it's not real.
That's right.
So you don't have to know all about their religion. Very,
very good analogy.
Witness.
And why are there all these religions?
Because we want to be in control.
Because we all have a conscience.
Yes.
And we all know right from wrong. And we all know somewhere deep down in our conscience that there must be a God, right? Because the Bible says he's revealed himself to all. So, if we all have a conscience and we know there must be a God, but we don't want to admit that we're sinners, and we don't want to admit that we can't do it for ourselves and get to heaven, which is a very prideful human thing, right? Then we would need a way to get to heaven that doesn't involve admitting we're sinners and we can't get ourselves to heaven. So our way of doing that is we invent something that goes along with what we know in our hearts is right. Most people who don't believe in God will still concede to you that the Bible is either a really good book or is God's word. It's funny how they don't believe in God, like Pastor said. They talked to someone who didn't believe in God or hell, but when they started talking to him about it, he started sweating. Well, you're awfully scared of something you don't believe exists. Right?
One of my friends said he didn't believe in God, but he believed in the Bible.
I have to look under my chair. That's the second thing I've heard fall since adding here. I have all my buttons.
Falling out of my pocket.
All right, we'll figure it out.
We're having a mystery.
Yeah, keep hearing things drop on the tile and bounce, and we don't know what they are. In case you were wondering why we're all acting crazy.
I can hear it. No, I know.
You can hear it? Okay.
We are crazy. That's why we're acting crazy. But,
yeah.
You know, the other reason is hearing these noises. So in verse 2 it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So how much of our time that we spend is on God? And how much of our time that we spend is on selling smoothies to get a Corvette? How much? And I'm not saying you shouldn't work there. He was a really nice guy, and I liked him, and it was a cool car, right? I'm just saying. Yes. God gave us. Keep in mind, work is not bad. Spending your time and energy on work is good. How do we know it's good? Because God created work and Adam to do work, and God assigned work to Adam before there was sin in the world. He was tasked with keeping and dressing the garden and naming all the animals before there was sin in the world. Having a job is part of worshiping God. Some people's job is to stay home with the children. Before that was her job, she had other jobs outside the house. Some people's job is to dig the ditches. Some people's job is to dispose of the trash. Some people's job is to invent a better trash truck so it doesn't stink when it goes down the neighborhood or squeal and make noise with the brakes and wake up everyone in the houses when it goes, right? There are lots of jobs out there. I cannot tell you what the right job for you is. You know how I know I can't tell you what the right job for you is? I can't even tell my 13-year-old boy what the right job for him is. And I know him pretty good. And I know his capabilities. And I know his weaknesses. His job is not anything that involves doing stuff when there's TVs around. I know that. But I can't tell him what his job is. God has to show him what his line of work is. God needs a witness everywhere. All those other guys digging the ditches, they gotta get saved too. They gotta hear about it from someone. God needs a good Christian witness there. All those sales associates at Walmart, they need Brother Rodney there. There are people who attend this church who met Brother Rodney working at Walmart. And now they're saved. not just the guy Rodney met, but his wife also. And now their young children, who are too young to get saved yet, are here because Brother Rodney's focus, while he's at Walmart working, doing it for God, is to do it as unto the Lord. And he sings. You ever hear Brother Rodney out here singing when you walk by? He does that at work. I asked him. He does.
Well, I actually ran into him a few weeks ago, and he had his iPod or whatever, and he was singing along with it.
People know. You don't meet Brother Rodney and not know he's a Christian.
Right.
You don't. You can't do it. His mind is on things above. He's bringing people with him. You can't bring your riches to heaven. We talked about this months ago. You can't bring your Jamba Juice Corvette to heaven. You can't bring your fancy clothes to heaven. Yes, we're all going to show up naked until God robes us. Thankfully, God is faster at dressing us than we are at dressing ourselves. You're not bringing your clothes to heaven. He's got that covered. The only thing you can bring to heaven with you is other souls that you helped win. That's the only thing you can bring. If I want my kids in heaven with me, that's my job. Better not mess it up. If I have coworkers I think are pretty cool and I want them to have a chance to go to heaven, better not mess that one up. Better had I. Your mind and your heart and your affections have to be on things above, not on things of the earth. We use the word affection to refer to what emotion?
Love.
We've been talking about what emotion?
Love.
As a motivation, right? So your love should be for the Lord and on things above. And if your love is on the Lord first, Jesus said, the second commandment's like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All right? So we'll use that as our memory verse, Colossians 3:2. It's a very easy one. And any of you who do not quote that verse next week will be honked. No, wait. That's a very easy one. Should be no problem.
Can you put it on Facebook?
I'm doing it right now.
All right. We got to close in prayer because we're going to get run out of here. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here and worship you. We thank you for the experiences you give us every day that teach us lessons about your word and how to apply things. Pray that you'd help us to remember to put our affections first in you and then for our neighbor around us so that we could show them love, so that at some point we could be a witness and maybe bring some souls to heaven with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So for our newer students, we have